seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Nehemiah chapter 4 and the 10th verse. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." The prophecy of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Nehemiah, like many of the prophets of old, were raised up for a certain day and a certain generation. And Nehemiah was a wonderful man, really. He was a man of much prayer. And what a gracious strength that is to the people of God when there are those that are much in prayer. And what a strength it is to the Church of God and throughout Zion, men of fervent prayer. And what a strength too it was for the nation. I often think of what the late Mr. Woodcraft said at the funeral service of the late Mr. F.L. Rail, who was pastor at Evington. He said, "Friends, you as a family in your loss have lost a real praying father." He said, "The church in Evington have lost not only their pastor, but a gracious, exercised, praying man. Zion has lost a praying servant of God. And the city of Leicester have lost a praying man." Now, here, dear Nehemiah was raised up by God to fervent prayer for his own soul, for his loved ones, for his family, for the Church of God and for the nation. But secondly, he was not only a man of prayer, but too a well-exercised man that carried much weight and many burdens, and they are of great value. And may the Lord raise up such today. But here they sought to repair the walls that the enemies had broken down around Jerusalem. And it was so laid in the heart of Nehemiah to do it, and others. But you find so often it is so, where the Lord works, so does the devil. And there was, of course, as we read in the lesson, great opposition against it. There were Sanballat and Tobiah, and then many others, as we read of, that all tried to stop this work. But you see, what was so blessed about it all was the Lord was with Nehemiah and with his dear people. these enemies were not to prevail. They were great, but the Lord was to overcome. Now, to come to our text, the Lord seemed to say, lay it upon me. Judah said, the strength of the burden, the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the walls. The first thing we would look at is Judah said. You know, the tribe of Judah were a blessed tribe. They were to be much favoured right the way you can read it from Genesis through to Revelations, the blessings that were to be poured out upon Judah. We are told that the sceptre shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And that's a wonderful promise, really. It was a promise concerning the glorious coming of the dear Lord Jesus. And then we think of what we read just recently in Deuteronomy, when Moses blessed the children of Israel before his death. And there was a wonderful blessing to be given to Judah. And we read, and this is the blessing of Judah, and he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. Now really, that was a fourfold blessing that was to be given by the Lord to the tribe of Judah. First, the Lord was to hear their prayers and to send down answers of peace. Secondly, he was to hear their praises that were to go forth. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. And then, secondly, and bring him unto his people. You know, the Lord will ever bring his dear people unto his people. He brought Ruth from Moab. He brought Saul of Tarsus out of serving Satan among his people. And many others we could name. Bring him unto his people. And then thirdly, let his hands be sufficient for him. And do we not need those hands of faith to be given that are sufficient for us? The hands of strength. And then fourthly, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And if you look right the way through the word of God, you will find what a wonderful help the Lord was to Judah, the tribe of Judah, from their enemies. And then of course you can go into the New Testament concerning the birth of the dear Lord Jesus. You remember when the wise men went to Herod and desired to find the dear Redeemer. What do we read? You see, Herod he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people Israel. It was out of this blessed tribe that Christ should be born. And so the blessing was to descend. But then, of course, you can go into the Revelations and you'll find there that wonderful word concerning the Lord Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What a blessed title to the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he says here, and Judah said, now this was God's dear chosen people. And what did they say? The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Now, there are two vital things here. First of all, are we bearers of burdens? We are told in Paul's letter to the Galatians, every man shall bear his own burden. That not only means God's dear children, it means all men. But there are two distinct things here. Firstly, with the Lord's dear people, the burden they carry is laid upon them by the Lord. And the Lord will undertake for them with those burdens. And I want to look at those burdens in a moment. But when they die, the children of God, they're freed from the great burden of sin because the Lord has put it all away. Whereas every man shall bear his own burden, they bear it while they're here. But they're washed in the precious blood of Jesus, so the burden is removed. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord removes that great burden of sin. But let me come low. Do we desire that he will? Lord, do remove all this burden of sin and burden of guilt. But the ungodly, those that never know the Lord and never will know pardon, they have a burden, but they don't realise they've got it. Every man shall bear his own burden. They live their life, they die in sin. The burden upon them, and it'll bring them into hell. Think how solemn. Never the burden removed and never felt brought to feel the burden while they're here. But it's upon them. And you know, it's very searching to me when this came, you know. Every man shall bear his own burden. And in the light of this case of Nehemiah and those that were the burden bearers, which I want to look at in a moment, they had their burdens laid upon them. And there may be those of you today who've got burdens laid upon you. But don't try and carry them alone. There's a wonderful place where the burdened sinner can come. and that is to the dear Redeemer himself. We hope to sing it at the close, and may the Lord speak it into each burdened sinner's heart today. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Now, there's another point here, which has been exceedingly solemn to me all this week. We have spoken, as it says in Galatians, every man shall bear his own burden. But in that same chapter, there's this word. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. That was a clear command the apostle gave to the church in Galatia. They got to bear one another's burdens, not add to them. You see, here with the building of this wall, there were those dear souls that wanted it built because it was God's holy city, the wall should be built, the Lord had commanded. There were those willing to bear the burden. How many today are willing to bear burdens? Not many. When it comes to the Church of God and to Zion, they say, oh, well, somebody else can do it. They're adding to the burden, not bearing it, one another's. And that's been exceedingly solemn to me this week. You know, there are always those that are willing to criticise. Whether it is the singing, whether it is the playing of the organ, whether it's the ministry. Now, thankfully, I've not been attacked over it, so I'll be clear in that. But I think, you see, what has so been with me is, are we bearing one another's burdens? Because here, they were all willing to bear and help each other in the bearing of this burden. They didn't want to add to it. There were those that were adding to it, in the case of Sanballat and Tobiah. They weren't helping these bearers of burdens, were they? They were adding to the burden. Oh, they were. And you think how solemn. Now you see, all our actions are weighed by the Lord. By him actions are weighed, we are told. Are we bearing one another's burdens, or are we adding to those burdens that they carry? I remember reading some years ago now, I think it was Mr. Whitfield, when he was preaching, on many occasions there was a woman in his congregation that whenever he finished preaching would meet him at the bottom of the pulpit steps and tell him all that was wrong with the sermon. She wasn't helping him bear the burden, was she? She was adding to it. And in the end, he just took it as she said all these things against his ministry. And he didn't say anything to her until eventually he said to her, when she attacked him on that last occasion, she said to him of all that was wrong. And he said, my dear, there's the pulpit. You go in it now and preach and put all what wrong, what you thought was wrong with my ministry, what right. and she just fled. She wouldn't do it, you see. But the point is, what so rested upon me in this case, with these dear men bearing the burdens, are we bearing each other's burdens? You see, you can do that in several ways. Firstly, we can bear one another's burdens by praying for them to be helped to carry those burdens. You know, prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls will wield it best. And when you see others that have got heavy burdens, get on your knees for them. Plead for the Lord to help them under that burden. Don't try and add to it to bring distress and more burden upon them. You see, this is what Sanballat and Tobiah were doing with these burden bearers. They were making the burden heavier and heavier by opposing them in this building. Another way we can bear one another's burdens is by physical help. You see a person in need, go and help them in it, and do all you can for them in it. You see, Sanballat and Tobiah, they weren't going to do this in the building the wall, were they? They wanted to pull the wall apart more than ever, and pull down those that were seeking to build it. Bear ye one another's burdens. Another way we can bear one another's burdens is encouraging each other in the Lord. You see, those who are in distress because they're in a great, got a great burden upon them, encourage them in the way. Maybe just for a little word of encouragement. The Lord can use it, you see. There are many here that have their burdens, and those burdens, like these bearers of burdens here, every man who got his own work, they all were willing to do it, to build this wall. But there were those that were trying to pull it all down, you see. So he says here, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Now you can understand why it had decayed. Because of all the opposition there was from Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and so on. The Amorites and the Ashdodites about this building the wall. But you see, their strength was decayed. Oh, it was. And you can well understand why it was, because you see, not only, and let's look at it in a few ways, not only was there because of all this opposition against it. You know, when you're faced with much opposition from Satan, from your own deceitful heart, or maybe from the world, or you're faced with it from even God's people left to themselves, you find your strength is soon decayed, isn't it? He wears you down. Oh, it does. And this is how these dear men were. And they were open and honest about how they felt it. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Now they had to bear these burdens. You said to carry them. Another reason why they were, their strength was decayed, because the work was so heavy, the stones were so heavy, the labour in clearing away the rubbish was so heavy, their strength had decayed. Some of us know when we've had a day of real hard toil, maybe in physical work, it may be in mental, and we're absolutely drained, aren't we, at the end of the day. The strength is decayed. And of course, when affliction comes upon us, there's no doubt these dear men, they knew what it was to be so burdened by their sin and burdened by the opposition of Satan. And it wears the sinner down. Well, there's a wonderful mercy here. There may be one here, your strength seems has decayed because of the weight and the burden you got upon you. They were bearers of burdens. They didn't just look at the burden and say, oh, well, that's somebody else's. They had to bear it themselves. They were in it. It was their burden. And it wore them right down. But the wonderful mercy is this. And for the sinner to die that's weighed down and burdened and bearing that great burden of sin, where can you go? Well, Sanballat and Tobiah and those enemies of the building of the wall, they got their own strength, they got their own power, but the weak burden bearers building this wall had got a greater power to go to. They got the Lord they could go to in it. And let me just remind you of sweet promises which the Lord has left on record. Firstly, what does dear Peter say? In his epistle, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And you look at these dear souls here, these bearers of burdens. You see, they weren't their own. The Lord had laid these burdens upon them. And he knew how weak they were and how their strength had decayed. But there's a blessed place they could go. They could call upon the Lord in all their trouble, in all their burdens, casting it all upon him. That, if you look up the word casting, it means put it from you. Lay it upon the Lord. Just as I quoted just now what the Lord said through the hymn writer, I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Now there may be those of you today who got heavy burdens. I might, if time allows, I'll just name a few in a moment, but oh, don't try and manage that burden yourself, poor soul. Take it to the Lord. Leave it with him. You may say, well, it's easy for you to say it. You're not in it. What I'm in. But as the Lord gives you strength and grace and help, cast it upon him. Leave it at his dear feet. No better place could you take it. And you know, this is where they had to come, these dear men. They got no strength against this great opposition that was against them and all the rubbish there was. But they got the God of heaven on their side, fighting the battle for them, undertaking for them. But then we think of that beautiful word too in the Psalms. Cast thy burden, not somebody else's, thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. That's a wonderful word, you know, really. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And upon him, you see, he who can sustain thee under this heavy burden. Now, there's a lesson for us here. The Lord didn't say he would take the burden away, did he? There are times, and let us be clear in this, when he does take the burden away. It may be some great burden you have about your sin, and though particular sin you're tempted with, and the Lord so comes and grants his pardon in love, and he takes it all away, removes it from you. But there are times and there are burdens that we have to carry, and we may have to carry them to our last breath. But the Lord sustains his dear people under them. Oh, that sustaining grace. You can think of the Apostle Paul with that thorn in the flesh. He didn't take it away, the Lord didn't, did he? But he sustained him under it. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that was a sustaining word for the dear man, wasn't it? It may be the Lord's given you a word that sustains you under that burden, what you're carrying. Now these dear men here, they got some heavy burdens, and it so wore them down, so their strength decayed. They were weak. They were helpless. And there was so much rubbish, wasn't there? How would they continue? Well, in and of themselves they couldn't, could they? So that we are not able to build the wall. But how were they to continue? How were they to be upheld while the Lord was to uphold them? I think of that beautiful couplet of the hymn, "Who can hold us up but thou?" Now, what about these burdens, you say? Well, not only the great burden of sin, there are the burdens you may have in your providential pathway. And you may say, well, this burden I've got upon me, and it may be just between you and the Lord. And how can you go on, because you feel so weak, it's getting you down, it's wearing you down, it's plaguing you night and day. And then there's other burdens, you see. That the child gave may be an affliction upon you. It's a great burden to you, you see. We think of some today that have got heavy afflictions upon them. It's a great burden to them. How can they continue? Their strength is decaying. But poor soul, the Lord alone can maintain you under that great burden. Oh, he can. And if it's his holy will, he can take it away. He can remove it. He can appear for you in it and make bare his arm, like he did for the dear people here. Oh, how the Lord was to fight for them. Oh, he was. But then we think of the burdens of exercise. It's been with me much since I arose this morning, thinking of the great burden of baptism. And I'll tell you why I name it. I was reading last evening a little of the history of the church here when it was first formed in 1838. And when Mr. Cowper, the pastor, you see, preached, such power there was with his preaching, and such unction and savour that so many were so blessed. And there were 16 came forward for baptism. They'd been burdened with it for years. But the way had not been made so they could go through that sacred ordinance. And the Lord made the way. And each of them gave their testimonies before the church, and 16 were baptized. And such was the blessing of that service that many couldn't sleep all night. They were so full of the joy of presence of the Lord. They went to bed, but they couldn't rest. And within a few weeks, there were 16 more. The Lord so poured his Spirit out. And after 3 months, another 17. And Mr. Cowper wrote himself that there were 60 came and were added to the church in 15 months. Oh, may the Lord grant such a day today, you see. We live in a day where many are just willing to sit in chapel and go in and out on the Lord's day or in the week and never think of the exercise. Never think of the step. May the Holy Spirit so be poured out that the burden and weight of that exercise may be upon many. You see, going back to that first baptism, when there was 16, you see, there are many who exercise about it were so blessed, they couldn't even rest in their beds. And I thought, what a wonderful description, you know, of the wondrous work of God. He laid the burden and exercise upon them, and he was to bring it to fruition. Oh, he was. And they couldn't rest until he did. I go back to last Lord's Day. The Lord said, I will work, and who shall let it? The bearers of burdens. And you know, when you look at those days, they had hardly anything of this world's goods. But oh, they bear some good burdens, you know, the Lord had laid on them. They had the burdens of providence. They didn't have much of the things of this earth. But they got the burden of their souls. The burden of the sacred ordinances of God's house. How he laid it upon them. You see, many were brought out of the Church of England. And he laid it upon them. They had to bear that burden because the Lord had laid it on them to make them willing. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. We could spend, of course, quite a time on this. There's much rubbish. And you know, you look around today, there's much rubbish. I'm reading back in William Cowper's time, you know, there was much rubbish then. He said, there's a lot of rubbish of religion there is today. He said it then. What he'd say today, I don't know. Natural religion, it's only rubbish. What we need, beloved friends, is that real religion the Lord is the author of and the finisher of. That'll bring us home to glory, that which God brought has wrought in the sinner. The rubbish must go. All the rubbish that the Pharisee had, Saul of Tarsus as a Pharisee, all that religious rubbish had to go, it did. There was only one thing that was real, and that was what God had wrought in him. And there are many places, and the rubbish is creeping in. You see, the world, they're letting the world in. Things are lapsing worse and worse. There's not the great concern for the old paths, to the narrow way. Much rubbish. And then look in our own heart. Look at the rubbish there is in us. Worldly thoughts. Carnality. Pride. Self-righteousness. the hidden evils of our heart. All that rubbish must go, you see, for them to build the wall. The rubbish had got to be cleared. But there were these weak men. They couldn't do it themselves, but the Lord was to do it, wasn't he? Oh, he was. And you think in your own heart, Lord, take away all this rubbish. Deliver me from self. Much rubbish. And you know, the more we know of our own heart, if I know anything about this at all, the more we know of our own heart, the more we see the rubbish there is in us. And you'll have to pray hourly sometimes, Lord, take all this rubbish away. You see, like a builder, a good builder will not build on a load of rubbish, will he? There must be the clearing of the ground, a good foundation dug. Where's your foundation? Where's mine of our religion? Is it building on rubbish? Or is it building upon a precious Christ? You know, there's only one sure foundation, and that's on a precious Jesus. Have we been taught what the hymn writer said? Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. And you see, the soul that rests on Christ to be saved for time and for eternity, they're safe in Jesus. But I must leave it, the time's gone. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Well, I've scratched around it. May the Holy Spirit grant us real exercise of soul where we each stand in this. Are we bearing one another's burdens? And so fulfilling the law of Christ. Amen.